Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Shepherdess Namushi Mutoya is joining us on the line. Shepherdess Namushi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great and happy new year. We're speaking for the first time in 2024.
Yes, speaking for the first time this year. I do appreciate that you've put aside time to speak to you. Absolutely, absolutely appreciated. Now, we are talking about guiding children into personal relationship with God. And of course, as Christian parents, we deeply desire our children to develop their own strong, enduring and close relationship, you know, with God. So whatever we do to help them on that path, especially in order that it continues even in our absence. So what is the importance of developing a personal relationship with God, ma'am?
Thank you so much. This is a very, very important topic to discuss, especially early enough in 2024. I know so many parents are desiring their children to have a personal relationship with their God, or they already have and want to better that relationship. So there are so many things that we can look at that make it to be very, very important that children develop a personal relationship with God. The number one thing is divine strength. Mm-hmm. And where do they get this divine strength? This is where they find a deeper meaning in God. And when they look at life, it goes beyond themselves. And so life becomes quite important. So the spirituality helps them to have this strength that is just beyond the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, maybe we can also borrow from Joshua 1, verse 8. And that is saying, this word of the Lord should not depart from your mouth. You meditate on it day and night, then shall you have success. So right. If we are going to be successful, the daily success that we have, because the word of God will teach us to read, to hear the word, and to put it into practice, to have gratitude, to have humility, and to have optimism. So you find that they also develop a daily success. Mm-hmm. And what else? They also tend to be resilient. In times of storms, they are able to bounce back. So yeah, these are the people that you find with a lot of optimism, and their level of anxiety are not much. So they have this divine joy. I think just like the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my what? Is my strength. It is my strength. Yes. So they have the divine joy, which surpasses human understanding. People say, oh, this person has so many challenges, but how come they have so much joy? It's because of the spirituality. It's because they have a deeper connection with God. And then do we desire our children to be healthy, to be wealthy? Do we want them to overcome sin? And do we want them to lead a life of purpose and meaning? Spirituality simply does that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very, very important. Spirituality indeed does that. Now, can this happen automatically, or is there something that a parent needs to, deliberately do in order to, guide or push the child in that direction?
It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen automatically. Some scholars have said children are born as blank slates. Mm-hmm. So we can say here that their behaviors are shaped by experience. That's why maybe the Bible, when we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 7, going downwards, the Bible is saying, you shall teach, let me pick it from verse 6, and these words which I command you today, you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you do what? When you rise. So the Bible is commanding us, like, hey, dear parent, I want you to first have these words in your heart. When you have them in your heart now, I want you to introduce them to the children. So we are saying, this doesn't happen automatically because the child is more like a blank slate. So it's what the parent will pass on to the child. So the parent has to introduce the children to God very, very early, just like we've heard from Deuteronomy, when they sit down, when they walk by the way, when they lie down, they have to keep on modeling this spirituality to them. Mm-hmm. And we need to remember that as parents, we are role models in many areas. We are role models of spirituality. So every day the children are observing, how, what time does my mom go to church? What time does my father go to church? How is their time management skills? What examples of spirituality am I going to pick from them? Mm-hmm. And then we are also role models to them as we relate with society. You know, society, they observe the works of charity. They observe how active we are in church. They observe how we are adhering to the truth. It's one thing to talk about the truth. It's also one thing to put it into practice. So as parents, we want to say here that the parent-child relationship becomes very key. The closeness that the parent has with the child points the child to God. The warmth that the child gets from the parents, they tend to connect it to the warmth that they'll get from their God. So we are saying the parents are the first teacher. They are the teachers with the words of they are saying to the children. They are also teaching them through their actions. We also want to say this mother and the father, the relationship they have between the two of them, that is father and mother, is also going to help these children to be able to trust God or not. So I'm just trying to say it doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen, especially as they start. We are role models. We are teachers, direct and indirect teachers, that they are observing daily. I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And in that way, they are then able to assimilate, as it were, what they see and observe in the parents.
That's true.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful,
true.
Beautiful.
That's true.
Now, how can we then encourage children to develop, you know, now that they have assimilated, they see that, okay, this is what mommy does, this is what daddy does, this is how they do. We need to then continuously encourage them to have their own continuous, you know, relationship with God. How do we then, foster that and encourage that?
That is very, very important. So it's like all that we've discussed, we're just like laying a foundation. Mm-hmm. We are laying a foundation. So we want to see now, how do we foster that? How do we encourage the children to develop their own spirituality? Mm-hmm. Number one thing I want to say, it goes through Bible study.
Uh-huh.
And what is Bible study? Mm-hmm. It is where we have to develop the family altar. They have to see us as studying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the time that we'll be answering their questions. Where does God come from? Did God have a wife? And all those questions in their own innocence that they want to ask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as we answer their questions, we are building their own spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
They are developing their own faith, their own insights of faith. They are trying to see who this God is on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pray together. We talk to them. We talk to God as we pray. So they also learn to talk to God and they can able to say, oh, so I can also pray to God. So this is where we are saying during the family altar, the children should also be able to come with their own program and be able to present, be able to share. And we should believe what they say in their own way. They are trying to develop their own spirituality. Then the other thing I want to talk about is we should serve together with them. We should serve together with them, should find opportunities to do service with them, whether it's community work, whether it's visitations, whether it's encouraging, whether it's encouragement, whether it's giving, whatever form of service that we want to go. So we shouldn't forget that they are observing, and they are also, they're assimilating. I like the word assimilation that you've used.
Mm-hmm.
So they are learning from that, and they'll be putting it into practice when they are able to stand on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So we are also saying it's important that we be an example. We be an example to them so that they are able to copy that example and make it their own.
Yeah.
So now how do they grow? As they listen to the Bible, as they listen to the Bible stories, as they are memorizing the memory verses, as they are praying, they are learning to depend on God.
Mm-hmm.
As they are praising God as they are singing the songs. They are also getting his own message in the words. You know, there's a way that the song speaks to each one of us. It also does speak to the child. So as they are getting the verses, initially they'll just be saying them as words, but with time, they'll start getting these words in a unique way. They'll mm-hmm. hear this song today, they'll hear it the other day, and with time, they'll start attaching meaning to these words that they are talking about. Mm-hmm. If we are talking about children who are a little bit older, we are now introducing them to have their own devotional lives, their own devotional lives. So this is where we can get them devotional books that they are able to read. We are, as Seventh-day Adventists, we have the Bible stories. Mm-hmm. The Bible stories says, as I think among the great books that somebody can be able to read for the children, so that as children of God, they walk through the Bible. And we need to also encourage them to search the scripture, to search the scripture. Mm. We also need to encourage them to use music in their worship.
Yeah.
What of reverence? What examples of reverence do they pick from us? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So as we walk into church, they observe our reverence. So that is also going to be passed on to them. They'll say, oh, so when we are in church, we don't eat chewing gums. Mm-hmm. When we are in church, we don't answer phones anyhow. Mm-hmm. So they'll pick that form of reverence. So we need to kneel down here. We need to rise. And in the places of worship, they'll tend to pick that.
Yeah.
When it comes to issues of tithing, I'm going to start with tithing, but later on, we are also going to pass it to them. So we are still again here saying, what is important is what would have laid down.
Yes.
Home being our training ground, and our children will be able to pick it up from there, and they will be able to stand on their own. Learning from our example, then they make these examples to be their own. Thank you.
I love that you're actually mentioning that home definitely becomes the training ground. It reminds me that indeed the home is the quarry where all the work happens. So when they come to church, they know that there is a particular decorum that we need to uphold when we are in the presence of the Lord. Fantastic stuff that you've said there.
Sure. That is very true.
Now, lastly, as we wrap up our conversation, Shepherdess, at what point then as parents do we say, all right, I think I've done my job. It's now over to God. Is there a point we reach that particular level?
That's a very, very difficult question to say, especially when you look at a mother. It's like, their child doesn't really grow in their eye. Mm. We are always children in our mother's eyes. The level of control is what we lessen.
Okay.
Just like others are born again when they are much older. Mm. So if I have a child that I'm seeing that they've started to learn God, they started being active, they are children that will be as small as three. You see them walk into their children's chapel. You see them developing their own spirituality. I think there's a way we just encourage them and we see that they are on the right track. We keep feeding them with the values that we want them to adopt as they grow in their spirituality. Mm. But what do you do as a parent when you can really see that no matter what I'm doing, this child is not picking the principles? Mm. So I would talk to them differently from the way I'll speak to a child. I'll put in my mind that, okay, this one I'm talking to is an adult, but at the same time, I think it's the time now to ask for wisdom from God to help you on how to pass on the same values without the child feeling like you are controlling them. So it's you encouraging them, it's you leading them gently. I think God doesn't give up on us. We are characters under construction all the time. So similarly, we'll lessen the control a bit, but I think we don't let go completely. We'll find ways to keep on pushing gently until our children have received their Jesus. That is if they do in their lifetime.
Oh, yes. Sure. Indeed. In fact, we do hope, every parent hopes that the child at some point will accept Christ on their own as their personal savior. It's what we look forward to. And by the time you get to where you rest, you sleep a sleep of death, you sleep comfortably knowing that you've done your work here on earth.
That's very true. That's very true.
Beautiful. Well, Shepherdess, thank you so much for your time. A pleasure talking to you, and always a pleasure to have you on AWR.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. God richly bless you.
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.